Today's Shir is Masech Tachlun, Daf Mem Gimel. We will begin Be'ezer Hashem Yisbarach and Daf Mem Gimel Amud Aleph at the top line. Amu'ula. Amu'ula says, Gemara Shemayna Min Yitrefis Nemen Loi Moshe B'Sinai. Moshe Rabbeinu was told eight categories of Trefis by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Nekuva, an animal that has a hole. Upsuka, an animal that was cut or dislocated. Netula, when the animal is missing a organ. Chasura, if part of an organ in part of an organ was missing. The gluda, which we spoke about in our previous shir, the halacha is that when we speak about a gluda is in the category where it's missing its skin, it's in the same category, say the Rishonim, Rashi explains, is in the same category of a netula. Chasura, when it's missing an organ or part of an organ, that's in the category of chasura, and that's why in our previous year we spoke about a leg that was cut above the arkuva. We spoke many times about the simonim, which are displaced. All of them are in the category, explains Rashi, of netula. They're all in the category of something that is missing. Of course, we have to define or identify, says the Maram Shif, what is the difference between netula and chasura? And explains that if the entire organ is missing, or if it's the part, a very important part of it is missing, it's chasura, and the tula is only when a part. The Rambam seems to differentiate that the tula is when this happened because the animal is diseased. A chasura is when it got sick, or a person did this to the animal. And chasura is when the animal was born that way. The Rashba, however, suggests that netula and chasura are really in one category. The reason he says Ula considers them two categories to teach us that it doesn't make a difference how this situation that the animal is suffering from happened. It doesn't make a difference if it happened because somebody did it, or it happened by itself. The point is that under both circumstances, it would be considered, under the proper circumstances, it would be considered a trefa. Continues krua, if there's a rip in the aver, like a stomach that's ripped. Drusa, which we spoke about, if an animal was trampled, we spoke about an animal being trampled by a lion. Which certainly it's a drusa. We spoke about an animal that was trampled by a zeiv, that we said there are different halachas. Nefula, when the animal fell off the roof. Shvura is certain bones or the skull are broken. Lefuke lakusa, all of this, if some animal was diseased because of a disease, because of some sort of disease, the Rachash Bapapa holds that such an animal is treif, and Ula's opinion is that it's not treif. The way I saw that the Rishonim explained this as well, is that even in a situation that the animal's organ got discolored, the halacha is that Ula will not consider it a treifa, Rachash Bapapa will consider it a treifa. There's a very interesting discussion I saw that Crazy Placey discusses, that the Rambam says in the Agdama to the Pirish HaMishnayis, and he says it in Hilchos Mamrim, and he says it in the Sefer HaMitzvahs, the Kol Dovah Shehu Halacha L'Moshe M'Sinai, anything that's in the category of Halacha L'Moshe M'Sinai, ain't by Machloikus. It can't be open to Machloikus. And if that's the case, we just learned that the Trefis, the Halacha of Trefis, are Halacha L'Moshe M'Sinai, and yet we're learning in our Gemara that there's a machloikis regarding some treifers are they treif or are they not? Says, but according to the way we just finished learning, says the Plaisi, this question is much less difficult. Because the Krasi says that we just finished learning that the way the halacha of treifus were given over to Moshe Rabbeinu, it wasn't given over to him in specifics. It was given to him as general categories, as we just learned. The general categories, everybody agrees, are what are treifus. The machloikis that we're going to be discussing is only to be what is or isn't included in the various categories. And now, since there is no machloikis about the specific categories, everybody will agree that those eight categories, that these are the eight categories which are Halach L'Moshe M'Sinai. So when the Rambam says there is no machloikis in Halach L'Moshe M'Sinai, this could be understood. Continues the Gemara. Amachi Barava, Shmoina Treifus Yesh Minakuva. When we look about the various example of what is a Nakuva, he says there are eight examples of Nakuva. And as Rashi points them out, there's the Nakuvas Haveshet, the Nakuva of the food of the esophagus, Nikav Krum Shamayach, if the membrane around the brain has a hole, Nikav Alev, if there's a hole in the heart, Hareish Nikva, if there is a hole in the lung, Nikva Akeva, there's a hole in the stomach, Nikva Adakin, if there's a hole in the intestines, Hakeres Apnimish Nikva, as we discussed quite extensively in our previous year, every animal, every kosher animal, has a number of stomach, and another one of those stomachs is the Keres, and that is considered Nikuva. Hemsis Ubesakosis, which are two of the other stomachs that the animal, kosher animals have, is also considered a Nakuva. Vim Timer, if you'll ask, there's another case. Teisha, there ought to be nine, because we have a case, the Mora, if there's a hole in the gallbladder, says the Gemara, Rabbi Yosef Yehuda, Katanila, Rabbi Yosef Yehuda is the one that holds that a hole in the gallbladder is a Nakuva, and that's not the halacha, and the halacha doesn't follow that psak. Since the halacha doesn't follow that psak, we don't have nine. The Tanya, as the Brisa explains, Nikva Keva, if there's a hole in the Keva, or Nikva Dakim, or there are holes in the intestines, Trefa. Rabbi Yehuda includes also Nikva Hamara if the gallbladder has a hole, but it's not the opinion of the Tanakama. The Chasam Sofer explains the reason of this machlaikis is because the Tzvi and Ayol, those two animals, says the Chasam Sofer, en la mora, don't have a gallbladder. And therefore, the question, the machlaikis of Yossi and the Rest of Yudin Tanakama, is if we have a case of a treifa that doesn't apply to all animals, because we just learned there's no mora by Tzviya Ayol, could that be considered a treifa? Is the only time we're going to consider a treifa is only by something that applies to all animals. Says the Gemara further, Hilchus Chaver Kazayis Mora Kurkvan Simon. Says the Gemara, Amar Rav Yisrael Bar Yosef, Amar Rav Yochanan, Halacha Rav Yosef Yehuda, he paskins that the halacha is like Rav Yosef Yehuda, that if the gallbladder has a hole, it is a treifa. And as the Rishonim, the Rambam, the Shulchan Aruch, agree that even though it's only the opinion of one individual, it's only the opinion of Rav Yosef Yehuda, since this halacha was taught in our Mishnah, and we learned that we're going to be discussing this further, that we always follow the halacha of a Stam Mishnah. So since our Stam Mishnah quotes Rabbi Yosef, our Mishnah is a Stam Mishnah, and our Mishnah quotes Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda's opinion, that is an indication that the halacha is like Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda. V'am Rabbi Yitzchak Bar Yosef, Am Rabbi Yochanan. Maya hadri lechaveri l'Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda. How do we understand this discussion
between Rabbi Yosef and Rabbi Yehuda that holds that if the gallbladder has a hole, that it's a trefa, and the other opinions that disagree, how do we understand that dialogue? Says the Gemara, it's really based on Eiv. We know that Eiv was a person that suffered terribly, and the Pasuk says in describing Eiv, Yishbach La'aretz Merasi. That Eiv says about his gallbladder that it was completely dissolved. Of course, the Mefarshim all asked the question that we know many Mefarshim say that the entire story of Eiv is only a mushal. Did not necessarily happen. So from what a comment that Eiv makes, asked the Mefarshim, is not necessarily an indication that it happened. To which I saw that the Sefer Ish Lavram explains that yes, even if we'll understand that what Eiv said didn't necessarily actually happen, but whatever Eiv spoke about could have happened. And the fact that Eiv says this as something that he experienced is a riot that it could be. So we see that Eiv speaks about his gallbladder being completely dissolved, and yet Ayadayin Eiv Kayim, he survived. So we see that a dissolved gallbladder is not a problem. And the way Tosfos explains, a dissolved gallbladder is certainly much more of a defect than a gallbladder with a hole. So if a dissolved gallbladder is not considered that a person could survive, certainly a gallbladder that has only a hole can survive. And therefore, it's a raya that it's not a trefa. To which Rabbi Yosef Yehuda responded, "A maskir meisanisim." We can't bring a raya from that story. Dilai temachi, if we won't say that, rather you'll say that wasn't a nes. The pasuk says that Eiv says, "Yifalak Yosef lo yachmal." My kidneys were completely diseased. Now, certainly, could somebody survive with diseased kidneys? Ella, the way we have to understand the entire story of Eiv, Nisashani, it was all a nes. The Ksiv, as the Pasuk says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to the Satan, when he tells him to afflict Eiv, he says, Ach es nafshes shemar, that even though you should punish him and he should suffer terribly, on the other hand, he should survive. So says the Gemara, even though Eiv suffered from a diseased gallbladder and survived, we can't bring a raya from that, because it's like Nisashani, the whole thing was a nes. Rashi explains that the Gemara says that what HaKadosh Baruch Hu told the Satan by Eiv is that he should do is that he tells some owner told, somebody told his master, told the slave, what I want you to do is break a barrel, but make sure nothing spills. And therefore, it's a nes. So our Gemara just said that what happened by Eiv was Maisa Nisim. So there's a question that the Rashba discusses. The Rashba says that if you have an animal which survived more than 12 months after developing one of the signs of a trefa, since the halacha follows, as we discussed in the previous year, the trefa in a chaya, that an animal to trefa will not survive past 12 months. So it's a raya that this animal is not a trefa because it survived past 12 months. Says the Rashba that is halachically incorrect. He says, first of all, he says that once we know that we learned that an animal that suffers one of the defects cannot live more than 12 months, we don't believe necessarily somebody who says that this animal survived with this defect even more than 12 months. Even, says the Rashba, that we do have a raya that we know that this animal survived 12 months with this defect, the halacha is that well, no matter what, you're not allowed to eat a trefa. The Rashal disagrees, and he says that there are situations, the Rashba says, I can't believe that any animal would have this defect and survive. He says, it's not necessarily true. There are animals that have these defects and will survive. But he does agree that once an animal has one of the defects, then the animal is a trefa, no matter what specific experience we have with this animal. So we have now a question. Why does the Gemara say that Eev survival was a nace? According to the Maharshal, the Gemara could have just said that we just learned that there are circumstances that even though the animal is suffering from a specific defect, which is a trefa, it could survive past 12 months. And why don't we just say that Eev was in that category? Says the Tfu Ashar that the reason a trefa may not be eaten, even if it survives 12 months, because the defect of a trefa is always fatal, just even though normally such a defect will cause that the animal will die with 12 months. Sometimes it's a strong animal will survive past 12 months. But says the Tfu Ashar, when we speak about Eev, he's ultimately going to die, and not only are going to die, but he's going to die fairly soon. Whereas, says the Tfu Ashar, when we speak about Eev lived for many years with all of these defects. So therefore, the Gemara had to say that Eev was a nace. The question is, why is a Sefik Trefa permitted after 12 months? If the Mashal was Mechadish now, that an animal, just because it survived 12 months, doesn't mean it's not a Trefa. It just means because it's a healthy animal. So when we discussed and will discuss that we have an animal which is a suffix if it's a trefa, one of the ways to be able to determine the status of this animal is by seeing if the animal survives past 12 months. But according to the Mashal's point, that shouldn't be useful because maybe it just happens to be a healthy animal. Answers that the Tfu Ashar. Since there's only a small minority of animals that survive when it has the trefa defect more than 12 months, it's more logical to say that a trefa, the Suffolk trefa that survive, is because it's not a genuine trefa, rather than to say that it's from the animals that could survive past 12 months. The way I understand what the Tfu Ashar is saying is as follows. Once an animal has a defect that makes it a trefa, so Chazal said it's a trefa. And yes, says the Mashal, even if you'll see that this animal survive past 12 months, that won't change the halacha. Because the halacha is that the trefa is a trefa. We see that it survived. We'll have to say because it's a healthy animal. But that's only when we're talking about a real trefa. But when we're talking about a Suffolk trefa, so there we can't say that this is a trefa that survived, because we don't even know for certain that it's a trefa. Since we don't know why that's a Suffolk trefa, since we don't know it's a trefa, and it's unlikely that the animal will survive past 12 months, they will say it's a ride that it wasn't a trefa. We're learning Amaskirim Masanisa. So I saw that, why did Gemara mention this? So I saw that the Sefer Meinida explains that there's certain nisim that are not mentioned, and there's certain nisim that are mentioned. Because on one hand, the way I understand what he means to say, is that when we speak about a nace, on one hand, it's a tremendous Kiddush Hashem. On the other hand, we have to be concerned a number of considerations. One is, how will the Nachrim interpret what happened here? They'll say it's Kshafim. Another concern is it takes away from the schus of that person. So the question is, when do we mention it? When do we don't mention it? So I saw that the Mefarshim that want to suggest that it really depends on how the nace occurred. If it's such an obvious nace that it could have only occurred because something was not usual, so there we don't want to emaskir nisim nisim. But in a case where it, even though it happened, and even though it was certainly a nace, but it's not something so incredibly extraordinary, then the halacha is that the nace can be mentioned. And here, It was so extraordinary, and that's why the Gemara says, "Ein maskirim nes nisim." The Sefer Yalkut Revu'ini Megala Mukas say, according to the Zohar, because as we said, what the Kadosh Baruch Hu told the Malach to do with Eiv is sort of very interesting. That on one hand, he told him to make him suffer, on the other hand, that he should survive. Why did Eiv get this punishment? So they explain that the Zohar says there were three people who were the advisors of Paroi. Eiv was one of the advisors of Paroi, and he told Paroi that what Paroi should do with Klal Yisrael is that they should take away their money, but not kill them. So that was what Eiv was suggesting. So Eiv's suggestion, his punishment, is very much in line with the suggestion that he gave Paroi. Another point that the Rambam makes in the Maran of Ochim, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu sometimes wants people to suffer. They want people to suffer, but there's a difference between the Yisurim that HaKadosh Baruch Hu puts on Tzadikim versus the Yisurim that he puts on Rishoyim. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu brings Yisurim to Tzadikim, he says that the purpose, the Shaar Tshuva says, is that the Tzadikim should do Tshuva, the Tzadikim should recognize that they need to do better. And if that's the case, he says HaKadosh Baruch Hu is very deliberate in the type of Yisurim that he gives to them. Whereas Rishoyim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is just punishing them. There's no lesson to be learned from what is happening to the Rishoyim. And because that's the case, he says there's a difference between the Yisurim that Tzadikim experience versus the Yisurim that Rishoyim experience. Tzadikim becomes slow, the Yisurim comes slower, so they shouldn't have to suffer that much at one time versus the Rishoyim. He even gives a mashal. He says that somebody had lent money to two people. One of the people that he had lent money to was a person who was a friend of his. And the other person was a person who he actually didn't get along with. So he's demanding his money back from both of them. But even though he's demanding his money back from both of them, there's a difference in the way expectation of how to get back the money from his friend versus from his enemy. From his friend, he gives him terms and allows him to pay back slowly. Whereas the enemy, he demands that he be paid back immediately in whole. And of course, that's much more complicated. The Mishnah taught us that if the liver animal doesn't have a liver, and then the animal becomes a trefa. But the Mishnah says v'lo nishtarim menuklum, which means nothing is left from the liver. So it seems to say that if there's some part of the liver left over, the animal will be kosher. The Mishnah we're going to learn in Daf Mem Nun Dalar Manal says that you have to have left over a kezias of the liver. So just a small part of the liver would be inadequate. You would have to have a kezias. So how do we understand this? So the Gemara we're going to have later in the Masechta on Daf Mem Vav suggests that it's actually a machloikus. Says the Gemara, Amar Rav Yitzchak, Rav Yosef, Amar Rav Yochanan, Halacha Divrei Omer, kezias. The halacha is that you have to have left over a kezias of the liver, that it should not be considered a trefa. Ask the Gemara, Umi Amar Rabbi Yochanan Hachi, is that indeed the opinion of Rabbi Yochanan? Ask the Gemara, Amar Rabbi Bechana, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Halach Kestam Mishnah. Rabbi Yochanan always follows the opinion of a Stam Mishnah, and the reason is because the fact that Rabbi quoted the Mishnah anonymously means that that's the halacha. And Tanan, we learned in our Mishnah, as we just said, nitla kavloi nishtayim menuklum. If the liver was completely removed with nothing left over, then it's treif. Our Mishnah clearly indicates, hanishtayir, if there's anything left over from the liver, ksheira, it would be kosher. Avgav dolayavah kazayis. So we have two Mishnayis, they're both stam Mishnayis, that are contradicting each other. What will we do here? Says the Gemara, Amaroi Nina Oliv Rabbi Yochanan. Says the Gemara, the way I sort of Rishonim explain this Gemara, is this that we say, that Rabbi Yochanan always follows the Stam Mishnah, is not absolutely clear. Some indeed paskin that Rabbi Yochanan holds halachas da Mishnah. Others explain, and therefore it's a question, but it's not true. The others say Rabbi Yochanan doesn't follow Stam Mishnah necessarily. He always looked at every Mishnah individually. And since he learns every Mishnah individually, now when the Mishnahs contradict each other, then he makes a decision which is the proper halacha. Continues the Gemara, the Amar of Yitzchak, Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Yochanan, Marish and Nikva. If the gallbladder is attached to the liver, and if the gallbladder develops a hole, the covetous muscle, but that hole is covered up by the liver, kshera. So even Rabbi Yosef of Yehuda, who's been teaching us in our Taya Shir, that a hole in the gallbladder is a trefa, in this case, Rabbi Yosef will agree that it's kosher. V'am Rabbi Yitzchak, Rabbi Yosef, Am Rabbi Yochanan, another halacha. Nikev ha-kurkovin. The kurkovin is the crap of the animal. The crap of a bird, I'm sorry. And the way it works is as follows. If we look at the stomach, it has a membrane that's yellowish. And next to it, there is the kurkovin, where the food travels, and the crap, and that's where the food gets completely dissolved. And after the food is completely dissolved, then it's easier to digest. So, says Rabbi Yochanan, Nikev a kurkovin, if the stomach of the kurkovin has a hole, the crap, the kishaloi, but the inner membrane is still intact, kayim, kosher, then the halacha will be that bird is considered a kosher bird. The Rashbah and the Ran all explain that this is only if the hole that it formed was because it got diseased. But if it got a man-made hole, then the halacha is that bird will not be a kosher bird. We have to be concerned about the depth of that bird, that depth of the hole that will make it non-kosher. Continues the Gemara. Ibailahu. Nikev a kiss. What would be if the inside membrane has a hole? Vakurkovin kayim, but the outside is still whole. My, what will be the din? Says the Gemara. Toshma Adam Rav Nachman's nikev zebulizeh. If they don't both have a hole, the halacha is that bird is kosher. Amar Rava. Continues the Gemara. Says Rava Shnei Irish Yeshtoi Leveshit. Every deveshit, the esophagus has two membranes. The chitzoin, the outer one is edoim, is red, or pnimi, and the inner one is loven, is white. Nikav zeh b'lay zeh, and he continues to say that if there's one hole, if one has a hole and the one other one doesn't have a hole, the halacha is that it's kosher. Says the Gemara, lamalei lemeimer, what was the point of Rabbi teaching us the chitzoin, edoim, and pnimi, loven? What was he trying to teach us? Says the Gemara, to teach us the chalif, if you'll have a bird or an animal, and you'll see that we have the colors established, the outer one red and the inner one white, and we'll see that this one has it reversed, then the halacha is that's a trefa, the fact that the membranes were switched. Ibailahu, says the Gemara, the following question, Nikv Shneim, if both of the skin of the vase should have a hole. However, the holes are shleika neged zeh, zeh shleika neged zeh. They're not one right next to each other. As Rashi explains, one hole is higher up on the vase, and one hole is lower down on the vase. Then the halacha is that's where we have the question. However, point out the Rishonim, that if the two holes are on different sides of the veshit, that is not a question that it would be kosher. And the way the Rishonim explained this is as follows. When the two holes are not lined up next to each other, but through movement, they can get lined up next to each other, and that's why it's going to be considered a nekam of foolish, a hole that goes all the way through, which would make it treif. And therefore, even though right now the two holes are not that way, we're going to consider this a treif, a treifa. But when the two holes are on two opposite sides, so they can never line up, it wouldn't be a shayla. I'm a mezutra mishmeder apapa beveshit kosher. If the two holes are not lined up, it's kosher. Bekurkovin, but if it's the holes in the kurkovin, we spoke about the two linings, it would be puzzle. Because what's going to happen is, it's going to, whatever is outside matter goes through one hole, could travel down into the next hole. Maskel Ravashi, to Ravashi asks, it should be just the opposite. Adrabba. Veshet the achlebe upayabe, a veshet which the animal eats with, the esophagus, and it also helps, explain the Rishonim, the windpipe, the trachea, which helps speak, the veshet plays a role in that. So therefore, Ravach, it's common that that veshet expands, and therefore, because it's constantly expanding, we have to be gomelay upashtar, gamdalay upashtar, the hole will expand, to the degree the zimnin, the mahazdin, the adadi, the two holes will be lined up. Kurkvin, but I said, when we speak about the kurkvin, the menech naich, kirikoi koi, the kurkvin stays where it is. It doesn't move around, and since it doesn't move around, there's no reason to concern that if the two holes aren't lined up with each other, it should be a trefa. Says the Gemara, Amalei Rav Acha b'Rei de Rav Yosef l'Rav Ashi. Hech Acha mina m'shmei d'mar zutra d'omer m'shmei d'papa k'vaseich. Like you explained, that by a veshit, if the two holes are not lined up, it's still going to be a trefa. By kurkovin, if the two holes are not lined up, it will not be a trefa. V'amar Abba Krum, Sh'olam Machmas b'veshit, if there's a scab that forms over the hole, the halacha is enakrum. It's not considered a covering. And even though right now we have this covering over the hole, the halacha is that covering, the halacha tells us that we have to be concerned that scab is going to fall off, and therefore it's not considered proper covering. Vama Rabba Veshit, halacha that we learned earlier in the Masechta, if one is inspecting the veshet of it as a whole, looking at the outer lining is not going to be helpful. And the reason looking at the outer lining won't be helpful, because it's red, and we won't be able to see if there's any blood from a puncture. The one that we have to look at is bifnim. We have to look at the inner lining, which is white. Ask the Gemara, Lamay Nafkamina, why is it important to teach us this halacha? Says the Gemara, L'sofek Trufa. As we discussed in our previous year, if an animal was trampled by, if we find an animal that is the type of animal that tramples other animals, and we find that animal amongst a herd of animals, that the halacha is that any animal that's crying out, we need to be concerned was a drusa. And therefore, when we ever have to be concerned that animal was a drusa, we have to examine its veshet to see if it got ripped. So that's why Rava had to teach us the halacha. To teach us, we're going to have to look at the inner lining, because that's the lining where we could tell if it's bleeding, and not look at the outer lining, because the outer lining won't be able to, is red, it's not going to be something that we're going to be able to make a determination. So the Ramban asks that, how can we ever do this examination? The Ramban asks, if we're not going to be able to do the examination on the outer lining, then once, even if we do the examination on the inner lining, we still have to be concerned that maybe the animal developed a hole on the outer lining, which can't be properly examined. Says the Ramban, the veshet has, as we just said, two lining. He says that if the outer lining was ripped, then he says, then the blood would not just remain on the outer lining. The blood would go into the inner lining. And therefore, the Ramban says, by seeing that the inner lining has no blood, it's a proof that there was no blood on the outer lining as well. It says, the Rosh disagrees, and the Rosh says, you're right. There's no way to be able to prove completely that this outer lining was not cut, was not affected. But he says, again, we're speaking about a situation where we have a suffix. We don't know what happened. Since we have a suffix, the halacha only requires that we look at the inner lining, says the Rosh, and once we're able to determine that the inner lining is fine, there's no reason to look for the outer lining. Says the Gemara, he's suffix drusa. There was an animal that was a suffix drusa. Dosa lekamei the rabba that was brought to rabba. Have a kabbalikle rabba levashit me'avroi. And rabba was examining the veshit from the outside. Asked, says the Gemara, Amalei Abaya, but Abaya asked him, for Mahu the Amr, aren't you the one that taught us the veshit ein lebedika? The way you do an examination on a veshit is looking at the inner lining, which is white, and we'll be able to see if it's bloody. Says the Gemara, Afkei Rabba Batkei. So Rabba indeed listened to what was just told to him, and he only looked at the inner lining. And what happened was, Vishtakachalai Trey Kurt the Dharmi, he saw two specks of blood on that lining, Vitarfa. Rabba, says the Gemara, but how did Rabba do this? Checking just the outer lining. The way we're learning now, the checking the outer lining is not really of going to be of any use, says the Gemara, it wasn't what he was intending to do. All he was intending to do was chadude l'bayahu d'bayi. He wanted to make sure that Abaya was on the mark, that, and therefore will point out if he made a mistake, which is the way Talmid Chachamim learn. When one person wants to make sure that the other person is on top, he questions him. The Rambam writes in Hilchas Talmud Torah, Perek Dalet Halacha Vav, that it's a Rebbe is allowed to ask his questions to Talmidim, even things that are unlikely to be happening, because that's the way the Talmidim will better understand what's being taught. And not only will it be a way that Talmidim will better understand what's being taught, they're more likely to remember what they learned. The Yochanan Boz explains that this is a legitimate, and that says only not a legitimate, but a practical way to make sure that Talmidim know what you're learning. The Bach says that even asking a question, which presumably is what we're learning in our shir, that asking a question which is not true and bringing up a situation which is not true, if that's the way you think you're going to be able to teach your Talmidim, then the halacha is that's what you should allowed to do. I saw the Sefer Kilas Yaakov says, Derech Liman Halacha, the proper way of learning halacha, Idei Chilas V'Tshuvas, Kushis V'Terutzim, through asking each other questions. And Chazal teach us in Masechta Shabbos, Daf Samach Gimel Amar Aleph, Shnei Talmid Chachamim HaMechadin Zeh L'Zeh, two Talmid Chachamim that challenge one each other, HaKadosh Baruch Hu Matzlich Lehem. That's the way HaKadosh Baruch Hu will make sure that they will be successful in their learning. Amar Ula, continues the Gemara, teaches us Ula of Yashalai Kaitz Beveshet, it is a thorn that lodged itself in the esophagus. Ein chashin, we don't have to be concerned that hivri, that it got well, if that, because the halacha would be that a krum is not, as we learned a moment ago, will not be a way to that we could rely that it's not a treif anymore. So we don't see a hole, we don't have to be concerned that there was a hole. There's a very interesting discussion that was very common in Europe about a food that many people ate, which is known as gestopfte Gänse in Yiddish. In English and French, it's called foie gras. And the way they used to take this goose or duck was that they fed it to make sure that the liver would become very fatty, very heavy. And then they would take that liver and use it as a, eat the liver, eat the oil that came out of the liver. What they did was that they force-fed this animal that it should quickly grow a quick liver. And the question is, and they were force-fed. And the question is about the kashrus of a force-fed goose. Is it considered, like we're learning in our Gemara, that it will develop a hole? And this is a very big machlokes. And the truth is, this is not a new machlokes. The Gemara, the Rosh Shulchan Aruch, in Yerideh Siman Lamed Gimel Sif Tes, says Ahumer Rabbanon, that the halacha is that the when we have the question that we just learned in our Gemara, what is the status of such a bird, where the Ramah takes a stronger position, and he says that it's if we see any defect, it's like it has a kites. The Shulchan Aruch takes a more lenient approach. The question that many discuss is that in later years, they developed different ways of force-feeding the ducks, the geese. They didn't necessarily just put the food in the mouth, but rather what they did was they put a pipe into the mouth. And not only did they just only put a pipe into the mouth, they would also use liquefied food. And the question is, will the people who are makbid not be makbid under those circumstances again? He says there's a tshuva from the Shevet HaLevi about this subject, and he says even those that were machmer about the force-fed geese, if it's fed in this very different way, the halacha is that we have room for leniency, but many poskim suggest that we still have to examine the veshut of such a bird before we eat it. Dam doras chatichas b'sakin tameya. Ulula asked the Gemara, why in the case, well, we don't know if there was a thorn, if there's a hole in the veshut, maishnam esofik trusa, that we just said before, we have to examine when there's such a case, we have to examine all the animals. Answered the Gemara, because Ul's opinion actually is kesavar ain chashin l'sefer treifa, and therefore his opinion is lenient even in such a case. Ask the Gemara, why is Ula, ask the Gemara, taking such a lenient approach? Ask the Gemara, maishna b'shnei chatichas, why if we have two pieces of meat, achash l'chelev, achash l'shumen, one is not kosher, one is kosher, and if somebody ate one of them, the halacha is that he has to bring an Oshem Tali. So here too, why is Ula being so lenient? Answers, the Gemara Hossam is Chazik Isura. There, as we just described, the meat had a, we know one piece of meat is not kosher. That's why we have to take a much stricter approach versus a case where we don't know that that if there was ever a problem. Ask the Mamashno, Meshach B'sakin, Nimtzis Pekuma. What happened was, we discussed this halacha very extensively early in our Masechta, that if somebody used a knife to shecht an animal, shecht a bird, and then after he shechted, he discovered that the knife had a begima. And the question, of course, was, how does the halacha look at this? Does the halacha say that we assume that it became defective only after the shechita or before? And the halacha tells us that we have to be machmer. So why, there's not a schazik asura. We don't know for sure that there was a problem, yet the halacha tells us to be strict. Why is this any different? Answers the Gemara, again, Hassam, right now we have in front of us, Isyalalei Reyes of Asakin, we have in front of us a knife that has a problem with it. And as I saw, Rashi points out, the Gemara doesn't use the exact same wording. There it says eschazik b'surah, and here it says esialad riusai. Eschazik means that it was problematic from the beginning. That means the non-kosher meat was always non-kosher. Here the knife was kosher, but at this point, now it's a problematic knife. But it's not that it was always no good. Ask the Gemara, we know that halacha is that a woman who her husband warns her not to be alone with a certain man, and she remains alone with that certain man, and he saw that she was alone, the way that she was alone, is a safek. And the halacha is that safek tamei b'shus yachid, safek tamei. That we have to, when the woman was alone in a secluded place, that's when she becomes a safek. So here, because there's even though it's a suffix, why is Ula being more lenient here? Says the Gemara, you can make a counter argument. What's the halacha if the woman was with that man in the public place? That the halacha is, she doesn't become a suffix, the Sfeif Ketar. So what does the Gemara mean to say? Says the Gemara, there is a special halacha Meshim Sinai, what the halacha is by Saita, which cannot be used for anyone else, for any other situation. Says the Gemara, Yosef Humer Rabbanika Medir of Kahan of Yosef Kama, Nitzmas, if there's a kites, if there's a thorn in the vesha, itmar, that's where Ula says his halacha. We don't have to be concerned that something happened. Avil Yoshev, if there's a hole, if the kites is embedded, chashinen, then we have to be concerned that it made a hole. Amalei Kuhana, to which Rav Kahana said, loy tzitzuloy, don't listen to what the Gemara says. Yoshev itmar. Ula said, even if it's found there, we don't have to be concerned that it made a hole. Nimtzis, but if it just was found there, says the Gemara, just passed through, that is poshut that it's not a shaila. Lo yitzruch leilula. We don't need Ula to teach us that it's not a problem, because says the Gemara, the kule chevi b'raitza koitzim. All animals are eating koitzim. So if the fact that it ate a thorn will make it non-kosher, it will be impossible to have a kosher animal or bird. Itma begins the Gemara, turbet saveshet. The turbet saveshet is the place that's right on the top of the veshet, by where the veshet, where the esophagus is connected to the jaw. Rav Amar, what's the halacha if we find a hole in the turbet saveshet? Rav Amar b'mashu, even the smallest hole will make it a treifa. Shmuel Amar b'rubay, only if it's mostly cut will it be treif. And the Gemara explains itself. Rav Amar b'mashu, because Rav holds that it's a makam shechita. And we've learned many times that anywhere on the veshet that has even the most smallest hole, it's treif. V'shmulam beruba, only if it has mostly cut, because Shmuel's opinion is la makam shechita hu, and therefore it doesn't have the din of a veshet that even the slightest hole makes a treif. It has a halacha that it has to be roiv to be considered a treifa. Ask the Gemara, as we mentioned a moment ago, hi. Hang the turbet saveshet. What exactly, asked the Gemara, is the turbet? What exactly is the turbet saveshet? I'm a mari by Merkva, I'm a Shmuel. Kol shechaytchay or marchiv, anywhere where you cut and the veshet expands, zeh turbet saveshet. Chaytchay, but if it's a place where you cut, va'ayim v'mekaymay, and it just the whole remains the way it is, veshet atzma. Amalei Rapapa. So Rapapi asked them, Malo Amahachi, you didn't say this. My Rebbe didn't say this. Umanu, who was that? Rabbi Barbaya. And therefore, he said, Kol shechot chavayim mekoymai, just the opposite. Where it's a spot where you cut, it doesn't automatically expand. Zeu turbet zaveshet. Kol chavayim mekoymai, zeu turbet zaveshet. Elei zaveshet atzmai, kol shechot chavayim. If it's a spot, when you make a hole, it shrivels up. Yoina Mazira Mivalata. It's a place that's close to where we swallow the food, says the Gemara, the Kama. How deep is it where we swallow the food? Or Pachas Misarta or Oda Mechitzcha. It's less than a bean, the size of a bean, a barley, but bigger than a kernel of grain. Says the Gemara, there was an animal that belonged to ox that belonged to the Bnei Rav Ukva. The Askelboy Shechita b'Turbet Zaveshet. They started doing the Shechita in the Turbet Zaveshet, and then they continued the Shechita for Gam Aveshet. They did the Shechita in the Shveitzet. Amar Rav Ravina leichumer the Rav Chumer the Shvil v'Tarfinalei. I'm going to take everybody's chumers, the chumer of Rav and Shmuel, and by taking all these chumers, the animal will be declared non-kosher. Chumer the Rav, I'm going to take Rav's opinion, the b'mashu. The turbet saveshet is even the smallest hole. Why does that make a treifa here? Because I'm a Rav, says makom shechitahu. And therefore, cutting by the turbets is considered like you did a ma'aser shechita. And since you did a ma'aser shechita, on one hand, it won't be a problem because you're shechting in a proper place. But So why is it a problem? Because it says, I also hold like Shmuel, the Amalam Makam Shlitahu. But if you're going to hold like Shmuel, as we said a moment ago, it'll have to have a bit, since the Torah of Hashem, according to Shmuel, is a place where we don't check the animal, it has to be a bigger hole. Hama Berubai says, no, on that hand, I'm going to take the Chumrah of Rav, that's Mashahu. So he's taking all both Chumras. He's taking the Chumrah of Rav, that the hole, that's a good place to shecht, but a small hole is a problem. But he's also going to take the Chumrah of Shmuel, that you can't shecht there. Says the Gemara, Igal Gemilsa Matel Kameh de Rav Abba. This question was brought to Rav Abba. Amlu Torah Ben L'Rav Ben L'Shmuel Shari. This animal is kosher. According to Rav, it's a Makam Shechita, so it's not a problem. According to Shmuel, it didn't have a whole Baruba. And therefore, he said, Zila Amr Leil Breder of Yosef Bachama, go tell Rava, who is the son of Yosef Bachama, the Lishlam Demetur Lamari. He owns the owner of this animal, the value of the animal, because he paskined wrong. And the way the Mefarshim explained this Gemara, if the animal was still alive, even though the psak had already been given, and we're going to speak about that, the halacha will be that you could reverse the psak. Here, however, the animal was already eaten. And therefore, since the animal was eaten, you can't reverse the psak anymore. The animal was already disposed of. It wasn't eaten. It was treated like a trefa, and therefore he has to pay. There's another machlok to show him. When we say the Rava has to pay, is it only in a case where Rava was the one that destroyed the animal, gave it to dogs, or even if just they did it based on its psak, would not be considered a grumman ben zaken, he would be considered a mazik, and he would be responsible to pay.